This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Namai, haere mai, kia ora tanakwe, Free FM 89.0. On the weather front, cloudy periods with the odd shower, southwesterly, strong in the afternoon. We're going for a high today of 20 degrees, overnight low of 12, we're 18 degrees in the city. Sunrise this morning at 6:46 a.m. and we'll sunset tonight at 8:18 p.m. 20 degree high expected in the city tomorrow. It's a wet afternoon. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine. Column, comment, events, birthdays, deaths, decades past, New Zealand Hit Parade. Chart.org.nz, February 15, 1975. Gary Schofield, Dwayne the Port Porter, and Trevor's Talk, all in before 2 o'clock this afternoon. Well, have you noticed around our city, and I saw it again last night, the proliferation of shopping carts around the city, all over the place. Shoppers who go around the supermarket, pick up their groceries, then take the carts out, then take them home and forget to bring them back. You only have to look on Ulster Street to see all the shopping carts. I saw someone with the new Woolworths shopping cart, the ones, the plastic ones, carrying their goods and services around the city last night. There's Warehouse, there's Kmart, there's Pack and Save, Woolies. All the major shopping people have got carts missing from their lineup. It's just because the people who take these shopping carts out of the supermarkets are too lazy to take them back. Now you know why people get angry about all the rubbish all over the city. And when are some of the rubbish bins after things that happen in the city not cleaned properly? They're full of rubbish after an event in the city. Normally someone goes behind and picks up all the rubbish out of the bins. We're a lazy society, and this goes too with last night what I saw in Garden Place. An illegal car parked in there with people having a meal in the city. It shouldn't happen. The homeless were there, or those who say they are homeless. Then we've got a guy on the corner of Grey and Tiara Street in the middle of the traffic wanting money. There's a young lady on Victoria Street wanting money last night, so she plonked herself outside one of the cafes. Come on, Hamilton, wake up. Take the shopping carts back and stop the signs and these people begging in the streets. It don't look good, folks. Day 46, 3:19 to go, February 15, 2026. And as on this day in 1978, 6 for 23, as Richard Hadley bowls out England at the Basin Reserve in Wellington. Everybody's got to know who's the world champion team. The greatest encounter there ever could be. There's Vivian Richards knocking up a century. Then the big birds banging them down to the beat of the reggae. But you can't beat the thrill when the man just gives the pill to the man they all came to see. 1952 this day, the funeral and interment of George VI at Westminster Abbey, St George's Chapel, Windsor. Thank you. 1944, the Allies attack the Italian monastery of Monte Cassino.
I've been a roaming Romeo, my Juliets have been many, but now my roaming days have gone. Too many irons in the fire is worse than not having any. I've had my share of...
1882, the first shipment of frozen meat aboard the Dunedin, en route to England, leaves Port Chalmers. 1984, Broadway star Ethel Merman dies.
A lesson in long distance spitting. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
As this day in 1971, the English and Irish currency goes decimal. This day in 1965, that singer Nat King Cole, an actor, dies. He was only aged 45. Let's remember Nat King Cole on a wet Sunday afternoon, but folks, it's still summer.
Roll out the lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out. Just off the sun and moon and sing a song of cheer. Just fill your basket full of sandwiches and weenies. Then lock the house up, now you're set. And on the beach you'll see the girls in their bikinis. As cute as ever, but they never get them wet. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. You'll wish that summer could always be here. Don't have to tell a girl and fella about a drive-in or some romantic movie scene. Why, from the moment that those lovers start arriving, you'll see more kissing in the cars than on the screen. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. You wish that summer could always be here. You wish that summer could always be here. You wish that summer could always be here.
Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. The one and only Nat King Cole at Free FM 89.0. Coming up, a little special treat. I've got an interview coming up. I recorded last night. I'll tell you more shortly. New Zealand Hit Parade, chart.org.nz, February 15, 1973. Kent Lavoll, a.k.a. Lobo. Me and You and a Dog Named Boo, a worldwide hit in 1972. I'd Love You to Want Me, tells of unrequited love. No return feeling. Yeah, it was... A goal that Lobo wanted. It was based on personal experience. You know the song? This was the follow-up to Me and You and a Dog Named Boo.
When I saw you standing there, about fell out my chair. And when you moved your mouth to speak, felt the blood go to my feet. Now it took time for me to know what you tried so not to show. Something in my soul just cried. I see the want in your blood. You told yourself years ago you'd never let your feelings show. The obligation that you made for the title that they gave. Baby, I'd love you to want. For me to know what you tried so not to show. Something in my soul just cried. I see the want in your blue eyes. Baby, I'd love you to want me. Baby, you'd love me to want you the way that I want to, if you'd only let it be. Oh, baby, I'd love you to want me the way that I want you, the way that it should be.
FM 89.0, independent community media, that is Lobo. I'd love you to want me. Well, last night after I finished here recording Scotty's Place, I went down to Riff Raff Park, where celebrations were underway to welcome back the statue of Riff Raff to that particular area next door to the new complex with the BNZ, etc. And I caught up with our old friend and friend of the station, the one and only Mark Servian. Did you ever think Rocky would be such as big as it is now?
Say that again.
Did you think that the Rocky Horror Show would be as big as...
Well, it's always been huge, hasn't it? 50 years of it being... Well, yeah. Not 50 years of it being huge, but it's been huge. I mean, I first went to see Rocky Horror in 1985, and it seemed pretty huge to me then.
I've read a lot of stories about the show that 20th Century Fox, when they filmed it, they didn't know what they were getting into.
Oh, they had no idea at all. And they let them do whatever they wanted, and then it bombed as a cinema release. But it had been huge as a West End show, so yeah. They always knew that the baseline, and then it found an audience. And that quote we heard before, you know, they had on a midnight show, and they had 70 people turning up, the same 70 people every time.
Are you glad the statue is back where it's meant to be?
Absolutely, it's where it's supposed to be. The plaque didn't make any sense being outside the museum.
Well, we're a city of, and a town of statues. We've got the bovine type, we've got a statue for a politician, and now we've got a statue of a cult hero.
Well, now it's been here for 21 years. We've been here longer than most of those other statues, to be apart from the farming family. It's been here longer than Sappermore Jones, longer than the Tongue of the Dog, longer than Norma, what's her name over here? Margaret Evans is what I call that statue.
I've seen some of the videos of what's been happening with some of the actors in Rocky Horror. Tim Curry had a stroke, of course.
Yep.
And I saw him in a wheelchair recently in a video, and he was still performing in it.
He was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Richard's 83. He's turning up tonight.
Well, good on him. Do you know how... Yes, so soon after Richard O'Brien, 83, turned up, and what a great performance. And if we have time, we'll play one of the iconic songs from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It is 3 minutes to 1. Hey, Sister Rangi Parker. I wonder if she's still around. Yeah, I've met her a couple of times out at the Mormon Church in Kuturi Karamia.
Daily inclined. Any day is Sunday, 'cause it's all a state of mind. Try a grooving Monday when you're feeling very low. Tell yourself it's Sunday till you feel that dinner glow. Stay in bed or take a walk, kiss a girl or sit and talk. Live as if for just that one day. Say you think it till it's Sunday. Make love Sunday.
Sunday, Sister Rangi Parker. It is 1 minute to 1. More from last night's activities down at Riff Raff Park. We'll have more shortly. What a great night. And I left halfway through the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I was feeling a bit tired, so home I came. But I hope you had a good party, because the weather was not too nice early in the day, but it was great. a great crowd. The mayor, Tim McIndoe, and previous mayor, Paula Southgate was there, and a lot of other personalities, and Richard O'Brien. Going well at 83. It's 1 o'clock. One, that's Indian Lake. Those are the Cowsills, and a sorry story about that one too, but that's for another day. Well, as I said, down in Riff Raff Park last night, and joining the fun, it was great fun, and along came Richard O'Brien. Of course, let's give you a taste of what was going on last night. Come on, let's play. Is it going to play? Very, very shortly. Yes, and right now, I think we have got it. Let's try and see if it will come up. Here we go. Here's some action from last night.
And so now, let's do the time warp. So, Sonia, introduce you to Sonia, who's going to lead us through this.
Again?
Okay. Wow. Let's have everyone, let's have that front row move forward. Come forward a little bit, get the people behind
you. This is the voice of Mark Serbian.
How do you do it again?
I'll be ready. Let's all time warp together with Richard.
It's the sound. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. Who's the closest?
Not much longer.
Yeah, even our mayor got into the action last night. He was dressed up like the narrator in some of the stage shows. And I reminded people last night that in one stage production here in New Zealand, Rob Muldoon was the narrator. It is 1:05. Well, as you know, Coronation Street has been on our airways since 1960. Made by Granada Television, later ITV. Well, the BBC got into the action in 1982 when they launched their own soap opera, which is still going great today and kind of outlasts and outbeats the Coronation Street. Here we go, Simon May Orchestra.
Us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our shirt together, we're polishing up our act.
And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Vibe. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our show together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
No stopping us now. McFadden and Whitehead, the EastEnders theme from Simon May and his orchestra. When I was doing the history lesson, we had a song from Georgie Fame and Alan Price, two of England's greatest blues singers. They recorded an album together in 1971, Fame and Price, Price and Fame together. This was the single from it.
Well, well, well.
Wilson, Georgie Fame and Rosetta. Well, in the history lesson also, we mention a day back in 1978 that Richard Hadlee took on England. And, of course, you know what happened at the Baysand Reserve. He kind of bowled them out.
The great all-rounder Richard Hadlee was on fire against England in Wellington in 1978, delivering a memorable spell and taking 6 wickets in a dominant performance. Watch till the end.
Bowling the ball up outside the off stump, and Root not getting his feet into position, playing away, way from the body, getting the outside edge. And he's lifted that one, it's going to be out. With England, 6 down for 53. Hadlee to Hendrick.
I can't stand the rain. It's a wet Sunday afternoon at 20 past one, Free FM 89.0. Remembering Richard Hadlee this day in 1978. And where were you in 1974?
Your mama says that through the week you can't go out with me. But when the weekend comes around, she knows where we will be. Kissing in the back row of a movie. you up from school, 'cause you're my steady day. But from Monday through to Friday night, I'll leave you at the gate, yeah. You know we can't have too much fun till all your homework's done. But when the weekend comes, she knows where we will be.
Of the late Johnny Moore with the Drifters, kissing on the back row of the movies. It's 23 past one. Well, rugby overnight. The Chiefs won against Auckland and much, much more. And we're remembering history. 1969, the late Fergie McCormick scored a record 24 points against Wales. It's commemorated in song from the one and only late Lou Prime, sung to Sink the Bismarck. This is the feat of fantastic Fergie.
New Zealand has scored.
In June of 1969, McCormick made his name. He played against the touring Welsh and kicked his way to fame. McCormick is an all black back who has made history. And the way in which he did it, boy, was a sight to see. That day in Eden Park, he played a rugged touring team. The way he scored his record points, no one ever could dream. The All Blacks fought the Welsh and won by adding to their score. McCormick made the day for us, scoring 24. The All Blacks are a breed apart, a mighty football team. The All Blacks are a massive bunch, forever rule supreme. They hit the fields a-running and they spun the ball around. The All Blacks on the ragged Welsh, they really cut them down.
Started it to try, New Zealand has scored.
Lahore and Grey played mighty games that day. Along with fullback Fergie, they stormed into the fray. Kirkpatrick, Smith and Lister, McLeod and Hopkinson combined in strength to race away for yet another win. Behind the pack was going Curtin and McRae, sharing play with Fergie, making breaks all day. Scott, Dick and Davis, and what about Hawthorne? Behind them all stood Fergie, and so a star was born. Are a breed apart, a mighty football team. The All Blacks are a massive bunch, for real will rule supreme. They hit the field a-running and they spin the ball around. Fergie kicked the goals for us, he made the Welshman proud.
It's a goal!
With picks so true, he beat the Welsh and raced ahead to fame. McCormick is a giant and we shan't forget his name. He joins the hallowed few, we great as old Black Back Supreme. Fergie is our hero and a must for any team. The All Blacks are a freedom part, a mighty football team. The All Blacks are a mighty bunch, forever will rule supreme. They hit the fields a-running and they spin the ball around. The Welsh, the French, the Springboks too will crush them to the ground. The All Blacks are a freedom part, a mighty football team. The All Blacks are a mighty bunch, forever will rule supreme. They hit the field a-running and they spin the ball around. The All Blacks don't a ragged Welsh, they really cut them down.
Watch those touch charges and the crowd he has kicked. Listen! It's a goal! Goodness gracious me! It was twice as high as the post!
Yeah, the feat of fantastic Fergie, the sound of the late Lou Prime at Free FM 89.0. Hope your afternoon is going well out there. It's not a nice day outside, and hope your day is going well. And it is Sunday again, just waiting for me colleague Mel to turn up. But sadly, in trotting, we have incidents, and we're going back to 1984 when Charlie Hunter was seriously injured in a crash at Addington. This is the dramatic coverage, and your commentator is Rion Murtha.
Face Triax, Josephine Brett and Liquid Lightning going for the lead with Tucker's Rule. They were followed out by Freight Man, wider out to Ruthless Sluggers, next with Royd and Glenn just ahead of it. David, there's a crash up front. Liquid Lightning went down and the Derby field's been upset. Liquid Lightning, Royd and Glenn, they're all involved. Sluggers out of the contest as well. So too is Tucker's Rule. A bad smash. Ruthless and Logan Drive, they've all been unseated.
Yes. Charlie Hunter was seriously injured. Actually, Charlie is still very much alive. He's in his 90s right now. And this takes us to the death this week of Cambridge trainer Stu Dromgall has died in the last few days. He trained Royal Cadenza to win the Auckland Cup in 1977 with Bob Skelton. Paul Hillis rode him in the New Zealand Cup. So we pay farewell and thank you, Stu Dromgall, for Royal Cadenza and many other horses. Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Yeah, good afternoon, Trips. And I'm congratulating to the chest. You know, we've got an Auckland supporter here and he's got his head down. He's a bit disappointed, but, you know, like, as I said to him, you know, you're a Waikato supporter, you're not a Blues supporter, so, yes, he's got his head down.
And I won't bring him to air either.
Yeah, that's good. this week's auction and everything is, we've got 572 vehicles on the lot coming up very soon. So I'd like to say that yes, another, it's not a nice day out there. So we've got plenty of auctions. The shipping part of the thing is the shipping thing. At the moment we've got about 7 log boats arriving in. A livestock improvement boat, which is supposed to go to Napier, is going down to Timaru to get loaded, and then it's going to come across to Tauranga as the apiculture, or whatever they say, is that they are going to bring back the livestock improvements shipping thing, as they said that they're going to go in from there. So so congratulations to the Chiefs, well done, and heads up, and they're going to beat the Highlanders next week.
So what you mean is they're going to bring back ships that carry live sheep?
Yep.
They were stopped because of opposition and complaints against the sheep being, and they dumped a lot of dead sheep over the side because they were dying on board the ships, so... We'll see. I hope there's SPCA will be onto this. And
There is. And what they've done, they've made the pens and everything all bigger for the animals. So instead of like jamming them all into one big pen, they've actually cut the pens to make the pens but bigger. So that's how they actually done it at the moment. So we don't know, but that's what they have said, that the agriculture minister Nicola Groot was saying that that's what they think about being doing. So,
Hey, thank you for your report. I'm calling him Dwayne the Port Porter. It's because he's in port a lot of time. It is 29 away from 2 o'clock.
We're the flash of black, the lightning pack. We're out to change the score. When the packs go down, we're gonna run that town. You'll know us by our roar.
Out to Stu Wilson. Wilson with the pace on Meagher. It's a beautiful pass to Robinson. Robinson puts it into the centre. Downfield goes Bolton, looking for the ball. Jumping for it is Batten, knocked away from him. Stu Wilson kicks it across field. He's racing for the ball. He kicks it ahead. If it'll bounce kindly, it does. Wilson the try.
FM 89.0, independent community media. That is Give Them a Taste of Kiwi, and that is Black Bolt and the Silver Fern. Just remembering Royal Cadenza winning the 1977 Auckland Cup in the hands of Bob Skelton. Yes, Stu Dromgill, who trained other horses other than Royal Cadenza, also won the New Zealand Cup with Paul Hillis. Yes, the jumps jockey. He was pretty small at the time, so all these famous families in racing, Royal Cadenza, Stu Dromgill, perhaps Kia Maya, the Reardon brothers, and much, much more. And, it's great times we have in our racing. Coming up shortly, a lot has been happening in American politics this week. Shouting, yelling, accusing, lies, more lies. We'll have more very, very shortly.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk
There's a song for the day, 1951, the late Gene Kelly, and from the movie Singing in the Rain. Good afternoon, Mel Driscoll.
Good afternoon. And it's a day that is still being marked in the United States, even if it's passed by us, Valentine's Day. What do you know about, as a man who spent 30 years based in Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America, a place of power, politics, and influence, often portrayed in the as the last bastion of democracy, freedom, upheld by that august legal institution made of the white marble building, the Supreme Court, all of which have been in the news. Gary Schofield.
Well, very true and very powerfully put, and some people may disagree with that characterization of the last bastion of democracy, but it is certainly democracy in action. We can put it that way. So Valentine's Day dates back, and this is Valentine's Day right now in the United States, but it dates back to the ancient times. It was a Roman fertility ritual way back in the mid-February, back in ancient times. It's now, of course, far more romantic, and we have it commemorated by St. Valentine, or Valentinius, if it would be the ancient word, who was, so the story goes, legendarily a priest who would marry people and have them, who were soldiers, but that was against the will of the emperor. He went to jail for it. His captor and his jailer's daughter was blind. He healed her, and he sent her the first Valentine's Day letter, from which we now get the tradition of the Valentine's Day card. So there we have a little summary of where it comes from. But I'm also from the U.S. I spent a little time in Chicago, which does remind one of the Valentine's Day massacre, which was a gangland Chicago mob-based rivalry. And this is Al Capone. You've heard of Al Capone, and he was one of the leaders of, I think he was called the Chicago Outfit, and they were fighting the North Side mobsters, and there were, I think, seven people that were killed, machine gunned, and from that we also get the abolishment of Tommy guns from the United States. So there we are. That's an extraordinary little slice of history for you. And also then the mob, of course, it's recently discovered that the mob was involved in Operation Husky. If you remember, the Sicilian Mafia were there. They had inside connections. They had the resistance. They also had people and you know, knew where there would be supply and outposts. And so they feel that they took credit for that very important invasion, one of the first invasions of the United States in World War II, of Italy.
Yep.
But anyway, all this comes to light recently, and also you find that they were in charge of anti-sabotage operations, being in control of the Union. Mm. So you'd wonder why they might feel a little bit betrayed, at least that was their perspective, when only a few years later you got the anti-mob. Well, you've got RFK, you know, you've got the Attorney General and bringing down the mob. And that was part of that enormous, intricate story that is now only just coming to light.
Yep. Hey, actually, talk about Italy. Today is the anniversary of the Allied attack on Monte Cassino. That is in 1944, this day, the Allies attacked the monastery at Monte Cassino. And they blew
And what a terrible battle that was, mm-hmm. too, especially for the Allies, especially for New Zealanders, having the beautiful monastery and its tradition and history turned to almost rubble. Yep. But also that gave a defensive assistance to Germany as well. So, and the Italians.
I just would tell you that it's very, very wet outside. It's blowing a gale, so I think there'll be rain warnings coming. Well, let's get back to this year and what we watched this week. Many New Zealanders wouldn't have seen this week. And
Chairman, I want to be
begin by acknowledging the survivors of Jeffrey Epstein's horrific abuse who are in the room with us today. I want to thank all of you for your bravery in speaking out. I want to say that you and the other survivors of these heinous crimes deserve better from this Department of Justice. In particular, it is shocking that the department did not redact the names of Epstein's victims, but it did redact the names of their abusers. I don't know whether this was done out of incompetence or whether it was deliberate and malicious, but either way, it is completely unacceptable. Even more troubling, the DOJ has failed to bring any of these perpetrators...
Yeah, and then, of course, Pam Bondi went on ranting and raving and screaming and yelling and talking about the Dow.
I watched that, indeed, and quite dramatic, as you say.
It was ridiculous. She took on...
carry on.
Yeah, no, she... I'm going to play a bit of her and... Jamie Raskin having a go at each other very, very shortly, so Mel can ask you some questions.
Well, looking to the events unfolding that concern the world, let alone the United States, how's it looking, Gary?
Oh, well, just in terms of as it relates to Epstein, and that's the topic that we're on, and I was quite surprised to learn that Jeffrey Epstein asked Andrew, that's Prince Andrew, to fix him a meeting with Gaddafi. So we're finding all these things that are coming out in the trial. And yes, there have been terrible mistakes made by Bondi. And yes, perhaps people should have had their names redacted. But, you know, what about the broader picture? What does Epstein want with Gaddafi? You know, I mean, if we're really looking at the tentacles of his institutional operation, that really was quite a major part of the U.S. policies for the last decade or so. So anyway, I just would like to put that in. In terms of other news that's happened is, of course, the Trump administration under Zeldin, who's now the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator, have repealed the Obama laws, at least the Obama interpretation of the 1970 Clean Air Act, because they didn't mention the pollutants as pollutants, which is carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases. So what Trump is saying is that we have to change that law back, and now, because of the interpretation, was that there was public endangerment. That's Obama's interpretation of that. And so now the EPA does not have the power to check pollution. Well, pollution is the legal issue of whether it's pollution or whether it's greenhouse gases or if it's an endangerment to people. And that power has been temporarily lost, but may be challenged in courts to have it reestablished. So that's a very big deal because it means that a lot of the regulations are under fire. A lot of the, the emissions and things that we've taken for granted over the last decade or so may be repudiated.
And of course, just going back to Epstein, I did see pictures of Epstein. This was after he was he'd been in prison for paedophilia, and he was in the office with Steve Bannon, whom I think is...
I saw that one too. Yes, I saw that there were connections and communications between Bannon and Epstein as well. Is there anyone that he's not talking to? And it looks like flashback to 6 months ago, all we ever heard was Andrew. Turns out that there's a chorus of people involved in a huge international network, isn't there?
Just take a break here. I think we've got some of Pam Bondi yelling and screaming her head off.
Well, we should be talking about making Americans safe. We should be talking about, what does a Dow have to do with anything? That's what they just asked. Are you kidding?
Mr.
That is plain ridiculous, isn't it?
She was trying to defend Trump. I think it was, she made the comment that there was Trump derangement syndrome. And I guess that's getting off the topic of what the discussion was on. And so that went into another discussion. Then it came back to saying, well, things are really good in the country. He's a popular president, which is politicking. And so, yes, you're quite right to bring all that up as real-life drama.
This scandal is spreading into the UK with Mandelson, Starmer, and many others. So it could end up as a worldwide scandal. Who was Epstein talking to? Secrets given away from governments. I'm just waiting for...
And the question is, why does he want those secrets? Mm-hmm. You know, why don't we ask that question?
Yeah. Oh.
And by the way, another piece of news, and I thought you might bring this up, because there is a lot of optimism in politics, as a matter of fact, too much sometimes. And the House, as you probably noted, voted down the tariffs on Canada. And there were some Republicans that swapped sides and voted for a Democrat resolution. Did you follow that one?
Oh, I've been following many things this week. Hey,
that's significant, except that it's not a big enough majority to override the veto. So that's why it's like a token vote.
Don't they say a week is long in politics?
Yes. We've had a lot of long weeks, and every week makes our program more interesting because so much happens in such a course of 1 week.
I'll be following more next week when I get home, when I watch the videos on whatever Trump's been doing in the last 10 hours while I'm sitting in here. So, hey, we'll catch you next week.
Look forward to that.
Bye-bye. The greatest comedy show was in the Senate when politicians start yelling and screaming at each other. Oh, whatever. Let's have some music. Calm us down a bit.
I feel like I'm not out of bed yet. Oh, the sun is warm, but my blanket's warmer. Sleep in your lady's arms.
Sleep in your lady's arms.
You got the time, bud?
2 minutes to six.
All night I've been walking the baby. Whoa, oh, his eyes are blue, but her eyes are sleep in your lady's arms.
Sleep in your lady's arms.
What time's it now, bud?
Mel, who's our next guest?
Since humans existed on Earth, we humans sat, kneeled, walked, or wandered about our landscape. We found time to take in the natural sounds, the natural music of surf crashing on rocks, perhaps a palm-fronded beach, birds busy in the bush, rustle of leaves, a whisper of glass. To our immense joy, even as babies, we looked to the source of such sounds, later learning to replicate them as gurgles and grunts, spontaneous sounds. The adult transforms these to complex forms, poetry and music, whether it resonates as rap, Irish reels, rhapsodies, jazz or classical symphonies. Music is universal. No one's immune to its emotion. On the line from the city where he's lived all his life is our guest, Kieran Murphy. Currently a student at the School of Music at Auckland University, Kieran has been passionate about music for as long as he can remember. How did it all begin for you, Kieran? A tradition in your family?
Yes. Hello. Hi, Mel. For me, music was something... It seems like it's actually every second generation in my family. Like, I'm very passionate about music, and I've taken it up to quite a serious level so far. Whereas my parents only played and knew music intimately while they were in their younger years learning instruments. But it's myself and my grandparents' generation that have really set the passion for music in my family to a very serious level. For example, my grandfather and grandmother on my dad's side were very musical, and even got their own grand piano when they had enough. Purchased one back in the day in Wellington, where they lived and grew up. And my granny was very involved with the church, singing in choirs every weekend, and my grandfather was a very able pianist. And on my mum's side, my grandparents there are both very eager musicians. My great auntie, in fact, a concert pianist and examiner in England at the moment. And my grandfather just absolutely fills his house with CDs, and I love playing every single one of them, as many as possible, and he'll immediately tell me which one it is when we go and see him. Yes, it's been a long tradition in my family, but I started when I was about 11 to really get involved learning.
And what are the instruments that you yourself have mastered?
For me, it's the piano that started it, and the clarinet through school, and now I've expanded that to harpsichord and forte piano, which are early historical keyboards.
And no doubt you expect to spend your life as a professional musician, no?
We will see, but in the meantime, I'm starting teaching.
It's an interesting example, your life, your family, because alongside your passion for music, Kieran, there runs another passion that takes you around New Zealand, makes sights and sounds familiar that were once heard best perhaps 100 years ago. Railways.
It is indeed.
What do you account for that?
For me, I've grown up in Auckland, and I remember the distinct sounds of the DC engines that pulled our suburban commuter trains. I was too young to have a camera or video them, but there are some great videos online. And I remember those. My dad took me out and friends to the ends of the lines, and seeing places that I didn't otherwise see on a regular basis. And now we have the electric train. So I've grown up with the Auckland network and also the Wellington one whenever I go and see and stay with family down in Wellington.
The railway carriage on which you rode yesterday into the city of Hamilton, that was an unusual event. What was the interest in that particular opportunity to travel out by rails and see the Waikato?
Those excursions run by Glenbrook Vintage Railway are an absolutely unforgettable opportunity for anybody to see and ride the railways that only in the very distant past now, and for me not even in my lifetime, used to run regular passenger trains to Rotorua, Tokoroa and Tauranga, for example. And the opportunity that the Glenbrook Vintage Railway provide us to be able to ride that in the carriages and with the locomotives of the time, albeit not a steam engine, but a diesel locomotive of the time, it's an unforgettable way to come and see the country and ride the line through the places which carry so much history. Again today.
Well, thank you for supporting the efforts of the rail enthusiasts to have a going concern here that revives the past. Kieran Murphy of Auckland, thanks for joining us.
It is coming up to Trevor's Talk at Free FM 89.0, and I did promise to play this because I was down in Riff Raff Park last night with Mark Servian and the rest of the crew, Richard O'Brien. I have to play this before we go at 2 o'clock.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Yes, even though Evan Mayer Tim was getting into it, he was had the proper costume on last night, and good to see Richard O'Brien at age 83 still performing. Good afternoon. We may be talking to Richard Armitage, Mel.
Russell Armitage.
Hello.
Armitage. Yes, hello, Russell. We're pleased to hear about a whirlwind Waikato tour in which you are concerned.
Yes, isn't that good to hear? That is the one with Jonathan Ayres. You mean, or my whirlwind tour?
Well, there's concerts, we understand, across the Waikato, featuring baritone Jonathan Ayres.
Yes.
Yes. He's a prominent musician for the Waikato.
Yeah, that's lovely, that.
Back briefly from opera and concert commitments in the UK.
Yeah, well, many people in Hamilton will remember him as a student, of course, at the Waikato University when he was a student there and did many, many concerts, as a student.
The next opportunity?
He's been studying in England and doing very well, and this is probably... he may have come back last year, darling, to do something at the cathedral, but this is one organised by the excellent Jenny... you know who I mean. Come on, guys. Ginny Murphy-Scanlon, she's organised this. And it's on in four places in the Waikato.
When will that be?
I'm just trying to get my... I'm not used to doing this on the phone. But never mind. Anyway, so Jonathan Ayres is doing four concerts. Te Oamutu, Morrinsville... Hamilton and one other, which I can't quite find.
Yep, sorry, guys, but we're running out of time, so hopefully concerts will go off too well.
Yes, yes. I gather I sent out a little email about it to my list of people, and they said they had a flurry of bookings. That's very good. But anyway, just look up Jonathan Ayres. Whirlwind Waikato tour people, and you'll get the booking details.
Anyway,
otherwise it's got it's a human human itex is the location.
Anyway,
human
thanks.
Itex, that's human and itex, HUMANITIX.
Yep. Anyway, thank you, Russell, and good to catch up with you this week. Hey, we don't have time for Trevor's talk this afternoon because
don't forget the Waikato Cathedral, St. Peter's Cathedral Fair in March. Don't forget to push that one.
Yep. Anyway, thank you. Thanks, Russell. Hey, as I said, we don't have time for Trevor's talk this afternoon. It's coming up 2 o'clock here at Free FM 89.0. The boys will be in with Harmony Waikato very, very shortly.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And of course, I must thank Mark Servian for looking after me last night. We had an interview and I played it earlier in the day. All the best, and I hope everybody's in recovery.
This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.